And good morning. Welcome to the High School Sports Roundup here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton, and the ESPN app, ESPNCoastal.com here. Christian Gokel, PJ Zucco, we're with you this morning, and a little too amped up on
PJ.
On
speaking of Ride the Tiger,
Holy Diver there.
Fun fact, SEC's back today.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Just got this from the Twitter
sphere. I had no idea.
Look, man, just because your conference decided to take another month off.
I'm actually pretty excited about it, okay?
Yeah,
like,
you
make
be.
My jokes and whatever, but anyway.
But yeah, Dio said Ride the Tiger there. Here's a fun fact for you as we get ready for college football today, and of course, we're going to be recapping all the high school from last night, but Alabama's last five losses have all come to Tigers, LSU, Auburn, Clemson. Today they play the Missouri Tigers.
Oh my gosh.
Still not a chance.
Oh my
gosh. Still not a chance. Hey, welcome to the SEC, Eli Drinkwitz.
Man, I can't wait to see them get beat by 40 today.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's what's going to happen. But I mean,
that's a tough way to get welcome to your first head coach job in the SEC there.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, here you go. Have fun dealing with Alabama. But
Coach Nick Saban said he wanted to welcome you.
It was funny, like when you told me that during the break, I was like, really? They were all Tigers. And then I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, the only teams that even had a chance were over the past few years were Clemson, of course, and LSU. So that makes sense. And then you have a couple upsets in there by Auburn.
Auburn always has a chance in the Iron Bowl.
Yep. That makes sense. Makes sense for sure. But hey, some great high school football games last night as well. We look forward to Georgia football. The pregame show, by the way, coming up 12 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And game time there at 4 o'clock. So we'll look forward to that later in the day. But right now, big high school football games there from last night. And a couple big wins by some Savannah area teams. But basically, the rule was last night, if your name didn't start with a B, you're probably going to have a tough night. And that's just kind of how it went there for whatever reason. An odd night there in Savannah. But one way or another, we'll push through it and figure out what to move forward from and what to get better at here later in the year as the year goes on. But North Cobb Christian last night, our ESPN Radio's High School Game Day Game of the Week, fueled by End Market. And the Eagles of North Cobb Christian defeat Calvary Day 34-0. That one called with about 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter due to lightning that was very, very close to the stadium. But at the end of the day, just seemingly nothing going right there for the Cavaliers last night. Just a very odd night there. But hey, sometimes you have nights like that, and I'm sure the Cavaliers will move forward from it. Benedictin traveled up to North Oconee last night, and after North Oconee battles back a little bit in the second half, finally the Cadets get the victory there, 49-35. Of course, Benedictin had a 35-7 lead there at one point, so a solid win for Benedictin as they move to 4-0. John Millage Academy, they get the victory over Savannah Christian. This one, 52-13, and a surprising one there for the Raiders. Not surprising to me that John Millage was able to compete, and
champ last year. Yeah,
well, state champion. You look at state champion. They beat Valwood in that championship game, 62-19. And I've been telling anyone who will listen, and Coach Woodward said the same thing on Thursday, 52-3 over the last few years. So,
and PJ rides for the Geese.
I mean, I don't ride for them, but
no,
I recognize when the team's good. And Coach Woodward even said, he was like, listen, they're, I don't even want to call them Geese basically, because they're basically in a league of their own. And I mean, when they play Geese teams, they show that.
Yeah.
So, either way, John Millage gets the victory there last night over Savannah Christian. First loss of the season there for the Raiders. Savannah Country Day, great to see them back on the field last night. It was a tough ask traveling out to Medder there, and a team that was already 2-0 coming off wins over Swainsboro and Statesboro. The Medder Tigers get it done 35-7 there over Savannah Country Day. Wayne County gets a victory over South Effingham last night 31-17. Get back to 500 there for the Wayne County Yellow Jackets. Bethesda Academy, they get the victory over Hilton Head Prep 42-15 last night. And Memorial Day, playing at home there at Garden City Stadium, they fall to Piedmont 28-13 there for Memorial Day. So great to see them be able to get a few home games here this year, but sadly did not go their way last night. So, we have a few to talk about that kind of fall in that same vein, and we start with our of course, a site for ESPN Radio's High School Game Day, fueled by Enmark at Calvary Day and North Cobb Christian. And this one, yeah, that just seemed like the Calvary Day all night just couldn't really get the footing right. North Cobb Christian comes out, huge kickoff return into Calvary Day territory, and Calvary Day defense is able to hold strong there and force a punt, and Calvary Day ends up coming back, driving the ball all the way down inside the 10-yard line there against that North Cobb Christian Eagles defense, and mixing up the pass and the run really well. A couple of really big third down passes by Jake Merklinger, able to move the sticks and get a first down there. But all in all, that rely on the running game there late in that drive, get inside the 10. Greg Daniel ends up fumbling, and North Cobb Christian recovers. After that, the Eagles march on a 96-yard drive, and in the flex bone, when you have that many plays stringed together against a defense, it just very quickly wears you down. And a big part of this football game last night, I don't think ultimately it ruined the game for the Cavaliers, because it's not just one player. It is just one player, excuse me. Fucius Lewis doesn't play last night there for the Cavaliers. Big part of that offensive line, big part of the defensive line. But, I mean, they still have some ballers. I mean, all around him on both sides of the ball up front. So, and they showed that there on that first drive. But you get worn down with that 96-yard touchdown drive by North Cobb Christian, and then you come back from that with a three and out and a punt there once again. And that's really where that wear and tear starts to happen. I mean, that first drive by North Cobb Christian was over 6 minutes as well there for 96 yards. And then you come back, a couple of big penalties on the night for Calvary Day. I believe it was the second or third drive. You stop North Cobb Christian on a first down run and push him back. Should have been second and 16, second and 17. Instead, it was a late hit by the two guys bringing down the quarterback. Ended up slinging him down instead of stopping at the whistle. That gives them a first down on your side of the field. And then they drive that in for a touchdown. So before, and then once again, a botched punt by Calvary Day on the special teams side of things. So it's, again, just one of those things where one thing went wrong, and then after that, several things went wrong. And you're going to have nights like that for sure. It's about how you respond to it and move forward from it. And we'll see how Calvary does with that moving forward throughout the year. But either way, tough loss last night to North Cobb Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you played a team, PJ, that you could tell really had an identity. They wanted to run the football. The offensive line executed really well. And Calvary, you're missing a key piece in the middle, like Fucius Lewis. That's going to be tough to stop anyway. But I think offensively, PJ, Calvary Day is struggling to find their identity. We've seen it through the first few weeks. Is if Greg Daniel's not really able to break something wide open, there's not a ton of identity with the Cavaliers right now. They don't know what they want to do outside of giving him the football. And so if a defense can key on that and shut him down, then they obviously have had success against Calvary Day. So got to find the way to get Greg Daniel the ball creatively, right? Can't just be handing it between the tackles, because defenses are going to be able to shut that down. But also, you have a freshman quarterback, right? So you got to find a way to help him. Bubble screens, just easy passes over the middle, I think, just get him going, get him confident. And I've always been a huge proponent, PJ, of sometimes when you have a freshman quarterback coming in, or a guy who's a little bit nervous coming into a game, man, run that 17 sweep with him and just let him get hit. Doesn't matter if you get 1 or 2 yards, let him get hit, let him get his blood flowing, because he's got to have the confidence going in against teams like this. If Calvary wants to do what Calvary usually does, which is to make a playoff run, they're going to need him to step up. And right now, I'm just not seeing a whole lot of offensive identity from the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I'd have to be right there with you. I mean, offensively, able to run the football well in certain stints, but even last night, you tried to get outside a few times and just weren't able to do that. There with Greg Daniel, it started working inside the tackles, but as the game went on, didn't see, I think I saw one pass that was over about 20, 25 yards. Not sure if that was by design or not, but yeah, and I agree. I mean, you have a young quarterback, you want to be able to go in and build that confidence, but sometimes as well, I mean, not sometimes, all the time, if you don't have that threat over the top, if you don't have that threat that they can stretch the field, and you don't prove that teams are going to shore up that box. They're going to creep up and expect the run and expect the short passes. And quite frankly, saw a lot of that last night with the bubbles, with the slants, and really positive play here and there, but not really a threat over the top there last night. So interesting there, and would like to see young Merklinger build that confidence more and more. Again, maybe that was planned and just never got to the cards. The setup play before that didn't go how it should have or something like that. But either way, it was one of those nights where you have one solid drive and, you know, everything else is going back. But there was one. Greg Daniel ends up returning the second half kickoff, the second half starting kickoff for the Cavaliers all the way back to the 20-yard line of North Cobb Christian. And the drive ended on Calvary Day's own 48 with penalties and negative plays and runs that went back, a sack, I believe, as well.
They call it quicksand, right? You have a freshman quarterback, right? So you start making mistakes, and then the more you struggle to correct those mistakes, the more mistakes you made, and the deeper you sink into it. And that's just one thing you have to avoid if you're a football team. Some people call it the snowball effect, right? As they start adding up, it just gets bigger and bigger and harder for you to deal with and just starts going downhill, and you can't stop it, especially when you're playing a good football team. And man, that was just one of those games last night where Calvary Day kind of got hit in the mouth and they really weren't able to answer. And North Cobb Christian, as we had pointed out by some fans last night. Look, big difference between North Cobb and North Cobb Christian. But North Cobb Christian able to move the ball up and down the field really at will with that running attack, over 300 yards on the ground for them. And I just think, man, anytime you let somebody come into your house, and hey, Coach Stroud said this after the game, they haven't been beat like that at home in a long time. Anytime you let somebody come into your house, run for over 300 yards and shut you out, that's tough to deal with. I mean, just as a football player, as a football coach, it's tough to swallow that. So I know it's going to be – I do not envy those guys on Monday at practice, because it is going to be an interesting week getting ready for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and ultimately last night, the senior night there for Calvary Day didn't go their way then. Try it again next week. I know First Presbyterian coming to downtown, homecoming for the Cavaliers. So that another potential distraction, but I know they'll want to perform better and
we'll see how they respond. If you hear homecoming one time at practice this week, they're going to be doing up downs until they can't think straight.
Yeah. So we'll see about that as Calvary Day looks forward to responding here next week with First Presbyterian coming up next Friday night. But looking forward to chatting with Danny Britt here in a few minutes about Benedictine's big win over North Oconee, 49-35. Again, they had a big lead in that one. North Oconee scoring a few touchdowns there late. But Christian, I know this team has a ton of talent and a ton of different guys. That's what makes the Cadets so special, especially offensively. But Justin Thomas, again, another big night. He was huge in the Brunswick High victory and huge again against North Oconee.
Yeah, scored three different ways, receiving, rushing, and he had a defensive score as well. I mean, dude is a ball player, but you mentioned they got players all over the field. And what I was really impressed by was the fact that Holden Gariner in that offense, they were able to hook up after last week. Coach Britt said, look, you're on grass. It was a little bit wet, and he just did not feel like his offense did a very good job of efficiently hitting the long ball, something that he says has to happen for this offense to click. And you saw it. Holden Gariner had four touchdown passes last night on the road. It's got to make Coach Britt feel good that the thing he identified as something he needed to correct, you saw prime examples of it, them succeeding against North Oconee. But, man, Justin Thomas, I know he has signed a baseball scholar, or not signed, but is committed to play baseball at the University of Georgia, and I know baseball money is different, but that dude, if he keeps playing like this, he's going to have some Power 5 schools come calling about his football prowess as well.
Yep, and I know it's a different story when you start getting those offers from those high-caliber Power 5 football conferences as well. So we'll have to see how that works out, but either way, he's going to...
Coach Smart, let him play baseball and toe the rock a little bit.
Exactly.
He's a ball player.
Why not? Players can do it. We've seen it in the past, so we'll see that. But either way, big night there for Justin Thomas and several big nights for him over the course of the 2020 season there for the Benedictine Cadets. We'll come back here from Danny Britt, head coach of the Cadets, when we come back here on the High School Sports Roundup on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton at the ESPN app and ESPNCoastal.com. And welcome back. High School Sports Roundup here on ESPN Radio. Savannah Hilton Head, ESPN app, ESPNCoastal.com. There you go. That one works. But PJ Zucco, Christian Gokel here with you this morning. Getting through it with some coffee and everything.
Through it?
I mean, man.
Thriving.
There's some late nights. I will admit. I mean, I'm not. I'm getting through it for sure. You're thriving. You're doing a great job on the show this morning.
No, you're doing fine.
I'm getting through it. We'll see, but certainly thriving last night and here in 2020. The Benedictine Cadets with another big victory there last night. They travel up to North Oconee, finish that one off 49-35 over North Oconee to move to 4-0. Danny Britt, head coach of the Benedictine Cadets, joins us here on the High School Sports Roundup. Coach Britt, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm a little tired, but doing well.
I imagine that as well, Coach, but thank you for joining us here on the show. Certainly appreciate it. And yeah, Coach, big victory there last night, 49-35. I know you have a big lead there as well. You stretched out to about 35-17. North Oconee, a couple touchdowns to come back there late in that ball game. But either way, another solid victory for your Cadets on the road to move to 4-0.
Yeah, definitely had a comfortable lead heading into halftime. Felt good there. Their quarterback Chandler is really special, and they did a great job of continuing to fight there and putting us in some bad situations. And we kind of have to outscore them there at the end.
Coach Justin Thomas, look, I know he is going to play baseball at Georgia as of right now, but I mean, a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and then what he did last week against Brunswick, man, I mean, those Power 5 schools are going to be calling after him for football pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to get offers from Power 5 type schools. I told he and his father that. He was straightforward with me in the beginning, said he thought he wanted to play baseball, but he's special. He's a special dude, man. He really is. He's the type of kid that he's going to do what it takes to win.
Talking to Danny Britt, head coach of the Benedictine Cadets. And, Coach, I know we've been talking about Holden Garner and getting that passing connection going, especially over the top. Well, he able to pass the ball really well last night, 4 touchdowns through the air. So, able to get that passing attack working in full function there against North Oconee.
Yeah, definitely. It was on last night, and he had another one, a beautiful deep ball to Trent, put it right on the money, and Trent wasn't able to hold on. But yeah, he was on last night, and hopefully we'll continue to be more consistent with that.
And, Coach, I know sometimes when you have this many playmakers, it can be tough for an offensive coordinator trying to share the wealth a little bit. Obviously, Justin Thomas, the hot hand right now, but Trent Broadnax, a touchdown. Zaquan Bryan last night, another big game for your sophomore right there. How do you think your offensive coordinator and that staff right now are doing distributing the ball?
Yeah, doing a very good job. First of all, it's the type of offense, and actually has been for a number of years, that you're not going to typically get a whole bunch of touches, so you better make it count when you do. There are those rare occasions like for Justin last week where he got the ball 20-plus times, but, it's just rare. So they're doing a very good job of trying to get these guys in the best positions and adjusting formations and to make that happen. So I'm proud of the coaches for that, and the kids just have to understand they keep working. And if this, their numbers call it to block and or be a decoy, that's what they do.
And Coach, again, you mentioned able to outscore them there a bit in the second half as they're able to mount a comeback, and then they keep on playing throughout all four quarters. But for a large portion of that game, your defense playing really well, holding a special offense there by North Oconee to only 7 points for most of that football game. Talk about how your defense played over the course of the game and how special they've been this year.
Yeah, the defense played really well in the first half. And then we just, again, they did a great job. And quarterbacks like Chandler are going to get theirs. And they started doing some things to kind of hurt us. But I think the defense has played well this year. And we just kind of got in a situation where we were trying to do too much again and gave up some big plays. So we can correct that. We will correct that. Coach Houston's done a great job of implementing this new 3-4 defense, and we'll continue to improve on that.
Well, Coach, 9 sacks on the night, able to get consistent pressure there from that 3-4 defense. Obviously, like you said, second half they were able to move the ball a little bit, but how do you feel like you guys were able to get that consistent pressure?
Yeah, again, Coach Houston was doing a good job of mixing up things and kind of showing different looks and then being able to back out of it and bring a different another look. And did a good job, and I hadn't been able to work on the stats yet, but I know Justin Thomas had a whale of a game.
Yeah, Coach, for sure. Talking to Danny Britt, head coach of the Benedictine Cadets here on the High School Sports Roundup. And, Coach, talk about that transition. As you mentioned, transitioning to that 3-4 defense. And in a normal year, it's tough enough to be able to transition from scheme to scheme on one side of the ball, even if you have experienced players that have been on the football field for a long time. But then you throw in the mix everything we went through in the offseason and everything like that. How much of a challenge has it been to transition to the 3-4?
It's gone fairly smoothly, but it has been more challenging with, you know, obviously the situation with the COVID-19 and the amount of time we've had with them. But again, Coach Houston and the staff have done a great job of making that happen and teaching, just constantly teaching and understanding that that's what it takes. And we've kind of gotten into mode where, like, you should know this by now, you know, if you're a junior or senior. Well, we couldn't do that with any of them, and it probably made us all a little bit better teachers to them. So they've done a great job. And, you know, the biggest thing is when you implement a new defense, in my opinion, is knowing how to adjust in the game. And that's something we're still learning and still working on, because with the 4-3 and what I had learned, I've been doing it for 20-plus years and, you know, pretty much been able to make adjustments on the run and know what to do. And now we're fresh and we're learning, but we'll continue to improve each game with all of that.
And Coach, how do you balance that? I know all football players know you just play so much faster when you're not thinking about what you're doing, right? You just have sort of a feel for your position, and you go out there and execute. And I know all coaches feel the paralysis by analysis. With the guys running a new defense like that, you said your linebackers have struggled the past couple of games. How do you balance going out there and attacking with plays versus just sitting in your base defense and letting your guys read?
Yeah, well, I think you take that into account and just let them play. And maybe it may be a little more simplified, but that's okay. And you tell them to let us worry about the schematic parts of it, and they just do what we tell them to do. And they've done that and done a good job of that. And just put them in the best situations you can. And sometimes you have to survive and just play hard, because you don't want to confuse them. And you just want them playing fast, and that's the most important thing. And I feel like we've done that for the most part. We played hard, we played fast with the new scheme, and Coach Housen's done a pretty good job of keeping it simple.
And a week removed from that Brunswick game where you said the linebackers, you weren't overly impressed by their performance. How do you feel like they did against Oconee? I know you haven't had a chance to really sit down and watch the film yet, but just from the on-the-field perspective, how do you feel like those guys performed?
I feel like they did better. They had a great week of practice, every linebacker, and they were working really hard and trying to improve on what they'd done. So the inside backers, I thought, had done well. And I said Justin Thomas earlier. I meant to say Holden Sapp defensively. He had a lot of sacks last night. I don't know right now how many, but he was getting after it as an outside linebacker position.
Danny Britt, head coach of the Benedictine Cadets, our guest here on the High School Sports Roundup. And, Coach, getting closer and closer to full schedule of college football back, and SEC rejoins the fold here today. The Dogs playing there at 4 o'clock. Are you going to make some time at any time today watch some college football?
Yeah, actually I am. I'm going to try to watch the Eagles play at noon and then watch the Dogs play a few hours later. I'll have my laptop with me, working on us too. But yeah, I'm excited to watch all of college football action.
Man, that's a full day. That sounds like a treat.
Does Southern get to make the trip up to Fayetteville?
No. She only got 3 games, and they're all home games. They're not letting the cheerleaders travel at all.
Yeah, interesting situation with COVID-19 and everything, but we'll look forward to a full day of college football today. Either way,
right.
Danny Britt, the Benedictine Cadets, off to a 4-0 start here in this 2020 season. Danny Britt, our guest here on the High School Sports Roundup. Coach, I certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. I know it was a late night last night, but best of luck as you move forward, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, guys, I appreciate you having me once again. Go Cadets.
Appreciate it, Coach. Danny Britt, head coach of the Benedict Cadets here.
4-0 is good, right?
I think the 4-0 is pretty good there on the season.
The local paper, guys who cover high school football and the ladies who cover high school football do amazing work and really, I think, underappreciated work because usually you're just getting yelled at for the stuff you write. But a lot of the newspapers will share articles. So I think last night they had a local from Athens that went up there and wrote it. So obviously you're going to skew a little bit towards the ones you cover. And towards the back end of the article for that game, North Oconee and Benedictine, there was the bullet points. And one of them, Benedictine might be a little overrated. It's like, if you go into a game against this team and think they might be a little overrated, do so at your own risk.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, well, either way, if they did anything like that, North Oconee, they're sitting at 0-4. So.
There it is.
I mean, that kind of proves it there. So, not saying that that's how the football team was looking at things, but either way, any way you look at it, one team sitting at 4-0 on the season, the other one 0-4, and Danny Britton, the Benedictine Cadets, certainly getting better and better as the season goes on, but overrated, I don't think a word that I would use to describe them.
And I'm really excited for this next one they got coming up, PJ, against Ken Cribb and Wayne County out at Wayne County. Just two traditional South Georgia powers right there going head-to-head. I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, no doubt. Going to be a great one there. And Wayne County getting better and better as the season goes on as well. They have a win over South Effingham last night. We'll hear from Ken Cribb and the Wayne County Yellow Jackets when we come back here on the High School Sports Roundup on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, the ESPN app, and ESPNCoastal.com. And welcome back. High School Sports Roundup here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, the ESPN app, ESPNCoastal.com. PJ Zucco, Christian Gokel, here with you this morning as we look at all the games from last night, all the big ones around the Savannah and Hilton Head area. North Cobb Christian, 34-0 victory over Calvary Day. Benedictine defeats North Oconee, 49-35 last night. It was John Millage Academy over Savannah Christian, 52-13. Metter defeats Savannah Country Day, 35-7. It was Wayne County over South Effingham, 31-17. Bethesda Academy defeats Hilton Head Prep, 40-15. And Piedmont gets the victory over Memorial Day. They're 28-13. But as we mentioned, they're coming up next week, and looking forward to chatting with Ken Cribb here in just a second of the Wayne County Yellow Jackets. Wayne County, Benedictine next Friday evening, and are really excited for that one, Christian, between these two teams. Benedictine 4-0, Wayne County 2-2. But Benedictine certainly hitting their stride, finally getting that ball over the top to come in complete. It was right there. It was really close every single time, but able to really hit their stride. Ken Cribb and the Yellow Jackets get their second win of the season last night over South Effingham.
Yeah, really excited to watch all the ball players all over the field from Benedictine take on that Wayne County defense that, again, we're going to talk about here in a second, but Trevin Wallace is one of the top players in the state, currently committed to Boston College, an outside linebacker there, and just wreaking havoc. Had an interception last night for Wayne County, so really excited to see the matchup just go one-on-one. I mean, look, Holden Gariner is a heck of a quarterback, but he's going to have to keep his head on a swivel because if Wallace is coming off the edge, that is dangerous.
Yeah, certainly, and him playing on both sides of the ball as well, doing a great job for Wayne County this year. Looking forward to seeing how those teams match up. But last night, Wayne County, the Yellow Jackets, get a 31-17 victory over South Effingham. Ken Cribb, the head coach of the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, joins us here on the High School Sports Roundup. Coach Cribb, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, PJ. Good to hear from you guys.
Hey, good morning, Coach, and great to have you back on the show here as we look at a big win for the Yellow Jackets and getting back on the winning side. And Coach, I know, once again, huge second half there for Wayne County as you defeat South Effingham last night.
Yes, sir. I think for now, we're just going to come out and play second half. I think we're going to forego the first half.
Sounds all right.
But, yeah, it was a good win for us. I'll tell you, I give Coach Clark and his guys a huge compliment on being prepared. You know, they came out, did some stuff we hadn't seen them do defensively. They were very motivated, hungry, you know, played hard. And we just couldn't get things in a rhythm. Too many penalties. We run the first punt back, and we get called blindside blocking. as we end up having to kick a field goal, and Just couldn't get it in a rhythm. And then second half, come out, get a spark, make some adjustments. After we, you know, because they did do a good job of coming at us with something we hadn't worked on. But then we had a huge delay with the storm, and once that cleared up, got back, we had a really, really good third quarter. I think we were up 31-7, 5 minutes going to game, and we cleared the bench. And they scored a touchdown and went and kicked the field goal at the very end. And, like I said, just proud of our kids for, not getting too down and not getting too frustrated and finally turning it on. But we got to get things cranked up a little quicker.
And, Coach, going into practice this past week after a tough loss to Richmond Hill, but a loss that I think we took a lot of positives away from going into that week, what was the focus at practice? I know just COVID-19 and making sure you have as many folks back as you can, but just what was the focus on both sides of the ball going into this week?
Well, it was pretty much trying to eliminate our self-inflicted wounds that we were causing ourselves. We had, just having to reshuffle so many people, trying to maximize what we can do with our young quarterback that's filling in for Trey, and we did that. Lining up wrong, not enough men on the field, getting the formation straight, people in different places, and felt good about that. Special teams, we had a really good night on special teams. We shored that up, and the main focus was to eliminate mistakes, eliminate miscommunication, make sure everybody knew where they were. You know, a kid would come off and have some type of injury or something, and we're missing a guy, so we had to clean that up. But felt real good about how well we did on that, and like I said, have a great night, special teams, and. So and we did build a lot of confidence coming out of Richmond Hill, because being down 17-0 to a program like that and come back and having that kind of fight, and we don't lose those 10-12 yards on that third down. We tie that thing up. So even though we were very, very disappointed in losing to Richmond Hill 24-21, we did have something to build on, but we got to get it going in the first half. So moving forward, that's going to be the focus, is coming out a little stronger.
Talking to Ken Cribb, head coach of the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, after a big win over South Effingham there last night. And, Coach, as you mentioned, still going with the young quarterback there, filling in, but at the same time, defensively playing well to, help him out and help the offense out, as it took some time to get them going, but defensively all night, you guys were on point.
Coach, defensive staff's doing an incredible job. The kids are doing an incredible job. South Effingham did catch a really great ball to get them down there to get that the first score. It was a high point by the receiver, a throw up into traffic, and he caught it at the one and punched it in. Had a little quarterback wildcat next play. But other than that, we played again another great week of defense, and they're keeping us in it, giving us the opportunity. I think we scored defensively last night on a on a scoop and score, and So they're actually continuing to improve, and they're playing really, really well. And we just got to give them a little more help from the offensive side.
And, Coach, one of the guys there that makes a ton of plays on defense, we spoke about him last week, Trevin Wallace, just a mauler on the outside, amazingly fast for how big as he is. But as you move into some of these games later in the season, I know 5A football, you'd like to keep your guys on one side of the ball. How are you going to balance him on offense and defense?
That's going to be tough. We're having to strategically try to be as smart as we can and timely as we can, and get him, minimize his touches or his plays on offense, because he's so valuable on defense. He made one of the most incredible interceptions last night. I mean, it was where he came from, I have no idea. He came out of nowhere, picked one off. I almost had a second one. Again, he's playing tremendous. He brought back a punt last night. And, some of these kids, we're just going to have, we moved Cliff Hadley back to running back, and he had a big night. I think he had over 200 yards. And just trying to make these transitions to different positions and with these kids, because we've had to deal with some discipline issues too that no coach wants to have to deal with. But got to keep these kids accountable, and what people, you hear people criticize the kids for mistakes and penalties and just getting rid of kids isn't the answer. That's cutting the fat. We're here to help help mold these kids and mentor these kids and get them right. And, you know, you can't save them all, but we try to save as many as we can and get them, you know, but you still have to deal with it. Still high school kids, and a lot, you know, some of the kids aren't getting what they need, you know, at home, and the coaches are mentors, and we do a multi-man thing where we bring out, you know, different speakers and pastors, and I'm just proud of where we're growing right now, and it does get frustrating. This crowd ain't used to losing any ball games, and we're sitting at 2-2. We lost to two good programs, but lost by three to Richmond Hill, and lost to Pierce County, who's a very good team, but we didn't score that night. You don't score, you're not going to win. So just proud of how kids are overcoming adversity. This pandemic's been tough to deal with. It's nothing I've ever experienced in my 33 years, and then injuries on top of that, quarterback out, Camden Williams out, a couple discipline problems, and it's just, you know, that's what you get. It's just a perfect example of life. You know, life's going to throw you curveballs. You're going to have to overcome adversity, tragedy, disappointment, you know, heartache, heartbreak. So we're trying to just come closer together as a team and a family. And I'm proud of how well they're doing with that.
Yeah, Coach Cribb for sure. And Ken Cribb, head coach of the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, our guest here on the High School Sports Roundup. Big win there last night. Coach, we're up against it, but great talking to you once again, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Hey, thanks for the job y'all do for high school football. Go Jackets.
That's Ken Cribb, head coach of the Wayne County Yellow Jackets, our guest here on the High School Sports Roundup here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton. I'd certainly appreciate him coming on this morning and looking forward to a big matchup next week between Wayne County and Benedictine. Well, we'll come back, as we said, up against it a little bit. We'll come back and chat about all these games, what we take away from last night, and what we look forward to coming up for these football teams for the rest of the year. And, of course, looking forward to a big week next week as well. That's all on High School Sports Roundup on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, the ESPN app, and ESPNCoastal.com. And welcome back to High School Sports Roundup here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, the ESPN app, ESPNCoastal.com. And then in the danger zone of the weekend.
Sorry, PJ, I'm fired up right now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. You got high school football in full-fledged. Just wrapped up week four. Looking forward to week five and some huge matchups.
Savannah's back, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Our Chatham County public schools are back on the football field next week. You also have Wayne County and Benedictine next week. And today, you have SEC football as well with the Dogs here on ESPN Radio Savannah. Not only that, but, I mean, you got great games all around the SEC. You have the Powder Blues there from Ole Miss.
You got the Fun Belt in action, too, man.
Man.
Georgia Southern taking on 19th-ranked Louisiana today.
Ranked game, ranked opponent, and big upset win potential there for Georgia Southern as well.
Lafayette.
And getting back on the football field, too, after last week, the mishap and all that with...
Hey, you know, all of a sudden FAU is healthy.
Imagine that, being able to come back for that one. But, yeah, man, football in full-fledged, and I said it a few times here over the course of this week, but so good to see football. Every game that comes back, every conference or team that comes back, it just all feels a little bit more normal. And normalcy is so rare here in 2020.
Well, we're back. I mean, with the Maction, with the turn of the Mac,
that's it.
Mountain West is back. 10 out of 10 FBS conferences are back in college.
I was thinking
football about
singing that, but I'm not. I don't know if I'd necessarily want to do that. Yeah, especially, I mean.
People are enjoying their Saturday morning, DJ.
I don't think I'd be able to do it anyway. Like, because I can hit that, but I don't think it's going to work this morning. But, no, you're exactly right. I mean, back full-fledged here in college football and, scheduled to be. Everyone approved to come back. Won't be back full-fledged college football until about November, honestly, with different schedules starting in October.
It ain't college football season until the Big Ten gets here.
No. There are conferences I saw yesterday that are starting like first week of November with a 6-7 game schedule. So I wasn't just talking about the Big Ten. But, I mean, they will be coming back October 24th, so looking forward to that for sure. But, you know, of course, getting ready for that and whatnot. But can you imagine? I mean, Liberty County Bradwell Institute had their first games of the year there last night. And now you have the public schools coming back for Chatham County. We're going to have Islands and Jenkins, our game for ESPN Radio's High School Game Day, fueled by N Market. And to me, I mean, I'm late. I know you played big-time high school football, and we're a part of a really stout defense as well. But I don't know if you agree. To me, when you win games, that's the cherry on top, right? That is the highest echelon. Like, that's what you want to accomplish as a high school football player. But being out on the field and being able to play, being a part of your team, being under the lights and having the fans in the stand, whether you win or not, when you look back on it, that's the reward of getting through, making your team, getting through off season and everything like that, working through practices and everything, getting set. I mean, I can't imagine being these players and watching other teams play 3 or 4 games already and then finally being back this week.
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit. Like, those guys have been hitting each other in practice, watching private schools and watching schools of surrounding counties play. Yeah. These guys are so ready. Jenkins Islands to kick off the season, that thing is going to be a dogfight. I'm so ready for that.
For sure. And new coaches as well, all around the public school scene there with Chatham County, and looking forward to seeing the new schemes and new offenses,
honestly,
coming into play.
Two of the top running backs in the state probably getting back in action on Friday. Patrick Blake is a heck of a quarterback. I'm really looking forward to seeing him this year at Jenkins, because I think he might start to earn some bigger offers as well with his play in that backfield. Man, there are some dudes that have been sitting around waiting to play by no fault of their own and staying ready. And I am excited to see them get out there and get a chance to play.
And we're looking forward to that for sure. So Jenkins and Islands next week, our ESPN Radio site for ESPN Radio High School Game Day, fueled by Endmarket. Be sure to tune in to that 6 o'clock on Friday night. Also be sure to tune in later in today for the Georgia Bulldogs pregame show starting at 12 o'clock. Kickoff and the game time there at 4 o'clock. But some big wins by Bethesda and Benedictine here in the area this week. We'll look forward to Cadets and Wayne County. Also, another big game on the schedule coming up next week. And we'll be talking about it all here next Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on the High School Sports Roundup on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, the ESPN app, and ESPNCoastal.com. For Christian Gokel, I am PJ Zuko, hoping you have a fantastic Saturday and rest of your weekend. Be sure to stay safe, mask up wherever you go, but also, hey, if you need to, or you don't really need to go anywhere today, enjoy some college football, a full schedule of it today. Have a good one. God bless.